ברוכים הבאים. We are studying Sefer Devarim, Parashat Devarim. We are a few days before Tisha B'Av. Although this year Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbat Kodesh, the fast is delayed, not until Sunday. So technically we're fasting this year on the 10th day of Av. But nonetheless, that's the day we commemorate the Churban, Churban Beit HaMikdash. I was recently asked if I could explain why is it that the Chachamim, when they established the reading of the Sefer Torah, they were very particular always that certain parashiyot should fall out at certain times of the year. This is done by design. And part of that design is that always before Tisha B'Av, we have to read Devarim. And of course the special Haftarah, which is Haftarat Hazon. And if that's the case, that means we're always going to make a transition between the book of Bamidbar to Devarim during the 3 weeks. That transition always will happen. And it happened last week, as a matter of fact. Last week, the Shabbat was called Shabbat Hazak. It's a great Shabbat because we finished the fourth Sefer of the Torah, Sefer Bamidbar. Last week we read two parashiyot, Matot Mas'eh. And it'll always happen. Always during Yemei Bnei Betzarim, we finish Sefer Bamidbar, and we go into Sefer Devarim. Is there a reason for this? Well, as the more you attend the Shi'urim, you realize that there's a reason for everything. And that everything in our religion is very precisely and very accurately measured. And although we might not know the reason at first, so we put it on hold. And then one day it'll be revealed to us. Like many times in the Gemara, a rabbi will say, all my life I was perplexed with this question. That means he sat with the question for 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years. And then when he got the resolution, he took it out of his file and he answered it. So everything in Yehadut, whether we understand it immediately, but it is always a sound reason to it. In previous years, we explained it as follows. Today I'd like to say a new chiddush, but I want to go a little back to explain it how we said in previous years. Am Yisrael, as a result of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, Beit Rishon and Beit Sheni. So we were thrown into Galuyot. We were thrown into exiles. These exiles are four. We are actually in the fourth exile. For another day, the fourth exile is actually two parts, 4a and 4b. But as a general rule, this is called Galut Edom, Galut Esav, Galut Romi. It's a Galut that began at the destruction of the Second Temple by the Romans, although we're not in Rome. But America is part of the Roman Empire, the way the Torah looks at it. And we never got out of that Galut. The first of the Galuyot was Babel. Babel was a very short-lived exile. It was only 70 years. And after 70 years, we came back to Yerushalayim, and we built the Beit HaMikdash. Just compare Galut Bavel, which is only 70 years, to Galut Edom, which is close to 2,000 years. Just so you can make the contrast. And then there were two more Galuyot in between. There was, of course, the Galut of Paras Umadai. As you know, the story of Purim. That's the story of Queen Esther. That's Ahasuerus. That's Haman. That was a Galut. The Galut of Madai, they referred to it as. And the Galut after that was the galut of the Yavan, the Greeks, which as we know was the story of Hanukkah, where the Greeks came in to defile the Beit HaMikdash, and then the Hashmonaim pushed them back, and miraculously we have Nes Hanukkah, that the oil lasted for 8 days. So those are the four galuyot that are a direct result of the Churban Beit HaMikdash. It has been said, I saw brought down in the Sfarim HaKedoshim, that in the Amidah, we pray that God should send us the Redeemer. We say, Umevi Goel Lebnei Benehem Nemaran Shemo. God is going to bring. He brings. He's involved in bringing. Mevi is present. Umevi Goel. He's bringing the Goel. The Goel is going to come after the fourth exile is finished. That's the rule. If you take the word Mevi, Mevi is Lashe Tevot. The Mem stands for Madai. The Bet stands for Bavel. And the Yud stands for Yavan. And the Aleph stands for Edom. So Umevi, once we finish the Mevi, Goel, then the Geula will come. That's a Remez and a Kavana that's proper to have in the Amidah, especially during these days of the Yibeh ben Abitzarim. Kavana, Mevi, the four Galuyot. I was a few months ago in Prague, and I had the zechut to go to the old synagogue of the Maharal, the Altanu Synagogue, that they call it. And it's a very fascinating and interesting Bet Knesset. And many Rashi Tevot acronyms are written all over the walls. And you have to try to figure out what each of these lines stand for. Like, it doesn't say on the top of the Hechal, Da lefne mi ata omed. It says, Dalid, Lamed, Mem, Ayin. So you have to figure it out. Da, lefne mi, Aleph, Ayin. You have to figure it out. So they have a tzedakah box over there. The tzedakah box is in the wall. And over the tzedakah box, it says the word Mevi. The tour guide that we were with, he was able to get every Rashi Tevot. He got every one. Ones that I had no clue. I didn't even know where to begin to figure some of them out. But when it came to Mevi, he said, this one I don't know. I said, happens to be, this is the only one that I do know. He said, please tell me, because I need to know the information. He's a tour guide in Prague. I told him that the Pasuk says in Mishle, regarding Tzedakah, Matan Baseter Yichpe Af. That when a person gives charity, Matan Baseter, he gives it quietly, it subsides the anger of God. Matan Baseter Yichpe Af. Rashi Tevot Mevi. Matan Baseter Yichpe Af. So they're putting a Pasuk of Mishneh. In the Maharal Shul, this was understood. For us, it's a Hiddush, but in that generation, they were great Tamid Achamim. So I said, why do they put this Pasuk specifically? There's so many Pasukim that talk about Tzedakah. Why specifically they put the Pasuk of Matan Baseti Yichpe'av? Because it also says, Siyon b'mishpat tepadeh v'shaveha b'tzedakah. That Zion will be redeemed when there's justice, and the captives, which are the captives in the exile, will be redeemed in the merit of tzedakah. That means us that are in the exile, and the galuyot, the zechut of the tzedakah, takes us out of the galut. So therefore they wrote Mevi, because Mevi is also Rashi Tevot, Madai, Bavel, Yavan, Edom. But it also has a connection to tzedakah of Matan Baseter, Yichpe'ah. Look, in one Rashi Tevot, you can give a whole shi'ur on what the intention was. Anyway, that's why we explained in previous years, if I'm not mistaken, I think Rav Hida brings it, the last parasha that we read is Mas'eh. That's the end of the Sefer of Bamidbar. And the beginning of last week's parasha read, Ele Mas'eh B'nei Yisrael. These are the travelings of B'nei Yisrael. It's referring to the different stations that we stopped during the Midbar. 42 station stops. We traveled to this place, and we stopped, and then we got up. Vayachanum, Vayisa'um, Vayachanum, Vayisa'um, etc. But it's also talking about not the minor stops of the Midbar, but it's talking about the general Masa'ot of Am Yisrael, our travelings through the Galut. And it's referring to the four Galuyot. Ele Mas'eh B'nei Yisrael is four words representing the real travelings, the travelings in the exile. And if you look at the words, Ele, Ele starts with an Aleph. Aleph is Edom. That's the longest trip that we've taken. That's the longest of the Masa'ot. Ele Mas'eh. Mem is Madai. Ele Mas'eh B'nei Yisrael. The Bet is Bavel, and the Yud is Yavan. So at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, it hints to us the four Galuyot. So I saw an explanation, and again, I'm reviewing. These are things I think I said in previous years, but it's important to hear the Hiddushim of yesteryear, and then we can go further. The Gemara says, V'hayayim Shema'wa Tishme'u. Why is it double language, Shema'wa Tishme'u? So the Gemara says, Im Tishma B'yashan, Tishma B'hadash. If you could tolerate to hear the old Hiddushim, then God says, I'll give you a zechut to hear new Hiddushim. But if you do not want to hear the old things already, you're bored from that already, then Borei Olam says, no, I don't give you a zechut to hear the new. So our whole zechut of the Tishme'u comes from the Shamawa. And anyway, I'm adding a little extra that I didn't say. So anyway, that's Ele Mas'eh B'nei Yisrael. The Mefarshim say, why are there five books to the Torah? Hamisha Umshe Torah. So they say that the first four books of the Torah, each book represents one of the Galuyot, one of the exiles. And in that book, there's an allusion to that exile that it represents. And the redemption from that exile is in the zechut of that sefer. For example, if you take Sefer Bereshit, well, Sefer Bereshit is connected Bavel. Where do you see Bavel in Sefer Bereshit? We have it right here. That's an obvious one. If you look at Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Chet, this is talking about when the Migdal Bavel, they built this big skyscraper, the Bavel people, to fight God. And then what does the Pasuk say? Vayafetz Hashem Otam. And God scattered them. He dispersed them. Al penecho la'aretz vayachdenu livnot ha'ir. Here we read about the downfall of Bavel. And therefore, already in Bereshit, there was an allusion to Malchut Bavel and its unraveling and its destruction. Today there's no more Galut Bavel. Although in its time it was the most strong empire, Nebuchadnezzar. It was the most powerful of empires. They thought the empire would never collapse. That's Bereshit. Okay, that was an easy one. Shemot is not so easy. Shemot is Madai. Wow. Where's Madai? In Shemot. I'll tell you. Something in Sefer Shemot is directly related to the events that happened during Galut Madai. And that is Matan Torah. We received the Torah in Sefer Shemot, in Parashat Yitro, to be exact. And the Pasuk says, Vayityasevu betachtit hahar. And the Jewish people stood at the foot of the mountain. And you know what the Gemara says. God took the mountain and He hung it over our heads. And He said, if you accept the Torah, everything's fine. Mutav, ve'im lav, sham tehekivuratchem. Here will be your burial. So the Jewish people under duress, you could say nothing less, under was duress, under pressure, they said, okay, we accept. So the Gemara says that even though when they received the Torah, At Matan Torah, it was under stress. At a later point in history, the Jewish people would re-accept the Torah, but this time it would be done willingly, miratzon. And that's what the Gemara says, Hadur kibluha bimei Ahasuerosh. That they re-accepted the Torah in the times of Ahasuerosh. As it says in Megillat Esther, Kiyemu v'kibbelu ha-Yehudim. And the Jewish people reaffirmed, Kiyemu ma-shekibbelu kevav. They reaffirmed what they already received. That means the events of Parashat Shemot really are concluded in Galut Madai. The real end of Matan Torah, the perfection of Matan Torah happens in Malkut Madai. And once the Jewish people re-accepted the Torah, finished, the Gezerah of Madai was broken, Mordechai becomes a hero, Esther saves the day, and Haman is hung. So you see, Galut Madai and the Zechut of our saving from Madai is in Shemot. Okay, now what are we up to? Oh, Vayikra. Okay, it's good you're here. Vayikra is keneged Galut Yavan, the Greeks. Now this is difficult. Where in Vayikra do we have any allusion to Galut Yavan? Well, if you open up Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Mem Dalet, you'll see over here, these Parashat Emor actually, the Torah over here is listing to us all the holidays. That's what Parashat Emor is known for. Actually, the Torah begins it in chapter 23, El Lemoade Adonai Mikra Kodesh. Asher tikru otam v'mo'adam en lehem mo'adai. And the Torah gives you every holiday, including Shabbat. Sheshet yamim ta'aseh melacha. That's also a special day. And then the Torah goes along and gives us Hagamatzot. And then the Torah gives us Hagashavuot. And then after Shavuot, the Torah gives us Rosh Hashanah. And then it gives us Yom Kippur. And then it gives us Sukkot. And that's basically all the holidays from the Torah. But interestingly enough, in our religion, on our calendar, I should say, what's the next holiday we celebrate after Sukkot? Hanukkah is correct. Simchat Torah and Hanukkah, Simchat Torah and Sukkot are together. Shemini Atzeret is part, it's in the Torah. The Torah lists Shemini Atzeret. Sukkot and Shemini Atzeret is all the same, it's all part of one holiday. I know it's regular b'fnei atzmo, but the Torah puts it together. Why Purim? After Sukkot is Purim? I know you want to get to Purim. Go Hanukkah. Why do you say two? Just say Hanukkah. Is Hanukkah from the Torah? No, Hanukkah is from the rabbis. Hanukkah happened after the Torah was done. But look in the Torah, after it mentions Sukkot, right after, and Shemini Atzeret, look at the next pasuk, Vaydaber, chapter 24. Vaydaber Adonai Moshe Lemon, Sabet Bnei Yisrael, V'yikhu Elecha Shemen Zayit Zach, Katit Lama'or, Le'alot Ner Tamid. The pasuk says, make sure you take pure olive oil, and make sure that you light the menorah. Ala menorah ha-tehora, Ya'aroch et ha-nerot. From where? Oh, you're talking about the menorah. We're talking about the holidays. Now you're telling me, make sure you get pure olive oil to light the menorah. And here the Torah is giving an illusion that there's going to come a day that after Sukkot and Shemini Atzeret and Simchat Torah is over, there's going to be another celebration that has to do with the menorah, that has to do with the olive oil. So there's an allusion to Hanukkah in Sefer Vayikra. And that's Galut Yavan. Yavan, they came to destroy the Beit HaMikdash, or the purity, I should say, of the Beit HaMikdash. So therefore, Sefer Vayikra is connected Galut Yavan. And we see that the Torah is telling you, don't worry, you're going to light the menorah with Shemen Zayit. So this already guaranteed us that we will recover and we will survive Galut Yavan. Now we have one galut left, and that's galut Edom. So we have no choice to say that Bamidbar, the fourth book in the Torah, is keneged that galut. Where do you see Edom? Well, actually, a few weeks ago we read it. If you look in Perichaf, Pasuk Yudalit, there it says, Perichaf Pasuk Yudalit. We sent messengers to Edom, and we wanted to cross by their land. It was a shortcut. We wanted to go right across the land of Edom. Na'bera na'be'artzecha. Let us go cross your land. Vayomer elav Edom. Edom comes along and says, Lo ta'avor. You're not crossing. Pen b'cherev etzel likratecha. I'm warning you. If you are going to come to our land, we're going to come out with our sword. Again, please, we're not looking to fight with you. Vayomer lo ta'avor. We said no. No is no. Vayetze Edom likrato. Edom comes out with an army. Ba'am kaved biyad hazaka. Rashi comments. Why did they say, oh, we're going to come out with our swords. We're going to come out with our weapons. So Rashi says that they were coming along to say, Atem mitga'im. You're so proud. Bekol shorishkem abichem. You talk about Kol Yaakov, your power of prayer, your power of calling out to God. You're so proud of yourselves that you have Kol Yaakov. We're also proud that we have Yadayim Yedei Esav. We're also happy of the berachot that we got. Ve'ani atzei alechem b'mas shehoresheni avi. You're coming with your father's inheritance. I'm coming with my father's inheritance. Our father Yitzhak, he told me al harbecha tehyeh. You will live by the sword. So you want to see, you want to come with your ancestral blessing? I also come with my ancestral blessing. But the rabbis come along and teach us over here. Really, why would Yitzhak bless Esav that he should have the hands of weapons and violence? Why should Esav have it? And we see that Esav has these powers. The violence of Esav, the bloodthirstiness of Esav, we don't have to go so far back in history to see what some of the descendants of Esav did in just a few years in the time of the Khurban of European Jewry. That's the Harbecha, as ethical as the Germans looked on the outside, but the Harbecha Tehyeh, that's what they live on. And the Mefarshim explain, while Esav took it as a blessing for himself, but really it was a blessing for Yaakov. Because that cherev, which is the cherev of anti-Semitism, separates Am Yisrael from the Goyim. That whenever the Jew tries to get a little close, that cherev pushes us back. And therefore, although it's not comfortable, I don't say no, it's not pleasurable to get avenged by that sword, but it's letovatenu. That blessing of Esav is actually part of the blessings of Yaakov. That Yaakov is guaranteed in existence because there's going to be anti-Semitism, and therefore Am Yisrael will never be able to assimilate totally, because there's always going to come a certain moment where the cherev of Esav is going to get activated and they push us back. And just like we saw, whether it was in Spain in the times of Inquisition, or whether it was in Germany in the times of the Holocaust, and you see it today again throughout Europe, there always comes a certain time that they lose their tolerance living with Am Yisrael. And again, it's not a comfortable thing, and we don't wish we are victims of it. But it's a blessing in disguise that at least we die or leave the world Jewish, and let's be assimilated. So that's a chesed that the Hatam Sofer says. So therefore in Bamidbar, we read about Galut Edom, and we read how God saves us from Galut Edom by not letting us cross their land. That's saving us. If Edom would let us cross the land, we're in trouble. So this is the salvation from Galut Edom. Now you understand, our Torah is our savior. The Torah saves us from Galut. That's why you mentioned Simchat Torah. I didn't intend to say this today, but I'll say it now as a bonus. On Simchat Torah, we have a minhag. Hakafot. What is the hakafot? We take the Sefer Torah and we circle. We circle, we make hakafot, we circle. And we go around once, exactly to the same spot. And then we go around again to the same spot. The hakafot on Simchat Torah represent the Jew traveling during the Galut with the Sefer Torah in his hand. And we go around all the way around, full circle. And then that Galut is over. And then we make a nut. But the Galut has to be with the Sefer Torah. Because the whole redemption from the Galut is in the Zichut of the Sefer Torah. In Zichut of Bereshit is Babel. And the Zichut of Shemot was Madai. And the Zichut of Vayikra was Yavan. And Zichut of Bamidbar is Edom. So we walk around as if we're reenacting the Galuyot, carrying the Sefer Torah, that wherever we go, the Sefer Torah is in our hands, and we will go back direct to the same exact spot again. This is the first four parashiyot. I once saw the Rasha on this. Why do we do it seven times? Be'azat Hashem, before Simchat Torah, I'm going to explain it to you. If I say it to you now, you're going to forget it by Simchat Torah. I'll tell it to you on Simchat Torah. I don't know.
It's true.
Of course it's true. Now, watch explanation. Watch explanation. David HaMelech wrote a chapter in Tehillim. Chapter Kuf Chav Vav. If you have a Tehillim book, you could look at it inside. But I'll say it for you. Shir ha-ma'alot le-David. B'shuv Adonai et Shivat Zion. Ha'inu ke-cholemim. When God is going to return us from the captivity of Zion, to return us to Zion, He's going to bring us back to Yerushalayim. Ha'inu ke-cholemim. It's going to be like a dream. We're not going to believe it. The people that are in the Galut are not going to, they're going to pinch themselves. Is this, are we awake? Is this really happening? It's going to be like one long nightmare. Not only the Galut of Babel, but the Galut of Romi also. We're so conditioned to Galut that when the Galut is over, we're not going to believe it. David says, "Ainu kecholmim." We're going to think it's a dream. But David HaMelech is saying something even deeper. We know that the Galuyot are going to come to an end in the Zichut of the four books. Bereshit, Shemot, Vayikra, and Bamidbar. Shir ha-ma'alot le-David. Beshuv Adonai. Beshuv Rashi Tevot. Bereshit, Shemot, Vayikra, Bamidbar. Beshuv, in the Zichut of the Beshuv. In the Zichut of the four Sefarim. Beshuv Adonai et Shivat Zion. In the Zichut of the Sefer Torah. It's the Sefer, it's the Torah itself, and its guarantees. That brings us out of the Galut. And that's why I believe at the end of the fourth book of the Torah, the last parasha, which we read last week, which was Mas'eh, I believe that's why it says, Ele Mas'eh B'nei Yisrael. It says, this Ele, the four books that you just read, Ele Mas'eh B'nei Yisrael. These are the exiles. You've just now read them, and you're finished with them, and you're going to be redeemed from them. At the end of the set of four, there's an allusion to the four Galuyot. Ele Mas'eh B'nei Yisrael. Edom, Babel, Yavan, Madai. Yavan, Madai, the order. But what is Devarim? Oh, Devarim already is the Geula. Devarim already is a separate Sefer. After the four Gaduyot, Sefer Devarim now talks about the redemption. Where in Sefer Devarim do we see the redemption? Well, I'll tell you something that's very clear. The book of Devarim is different than all the other Sefarim, as you know. It's called Mishneh Torah. It's really a review of the entire Torah. And it says, Ella Devarim Asher Diber Moshe. Whereas the whole Torah, it's Vaydaber Adonai El Moshe Lemor. The whole Torah, it's what God is relaying to Moshe. The book of Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying it. I'm going to say the words Mepi Atzmo, but it's really not, nothing is Mepi Atzmo. From himself. It's from himself, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with everything. It's he's speaking and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is masking with every word. We can never say that Moshe Rabbeinu said one word on his own without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's agreeing. It's the Torah of Hashem at the end of the day. But it's Mepi Atzmo. This was his own speech. The book of Devarim is Moshe's book. Ella Devarim Ashediber Moshe. Again, the first four books, God is talking to Moshe, to the people. In the fifth book, Moshe is talking to the people straight, directly. He's reviewing all the history. Why is that book the book of the Geula? The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Mashiach, which is a chidush to many people. Well, I thought David HaMelech is the Mashiach. Or HaChaim HaKadosh says that just like Moshe Rabbeinu was the original Redeemer that took us out of Egypt, he's the Goel Rishon and he's the Goel Acharon. Like we say in the Musaf, Hin Ga'alti Yitchem, Acharit Kireshit. That the final exile will be redeemed like the first exile. Hin Ga'alti Etchem Acharit Kireshit. What was Kireshit? Egypt. And just like Moshe Rabbeinu took us out of Egypt, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to take us out as well of this final Galut. And he says, this is alluded to, this is the way he writes it. Or HaMekadosh is talking in Parashat Vayichi. When Yaakov Abinu is blessing his son Yehuda, he tells Yehuda about his Davidic dynasty that's going to come from Yehuda, Malchut Bet David. And then he says, Yaakov, Ad ki yavo Shiloh, until Shiloh comes. Shiloh is another name for Mashiach. Says the Or HaKadosh, why do they call him Shiloh? Sheen is 300, and Yud is 10. That's 310, and Lamed He is 35. That's 345. Shiloh Gematria Moshe. Moshe is also 345. Shiloh equals Moshe, Moshe is Mashiach. That's what he says. And then he quotes a pasuk in Kohelet. The pasuk says, Ma shehaya hu shiyehye. What was, will be. So he says, Ma shehaya hu is Rashi Tevot Moshe. Ma shehaya hu shiyehye. What was, meaning in Egypt, that was going to be in the final Geulah as well. So therefore it makes very good sense that the Sefer of Devarim, that's the Sefer of Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu is Goalan Shel Yisrael, is the Redeemer of Israel. And therefore, that book, the fifth book, represents Geulat Yisrael. And that's why it's said by the Mashiach himself, by Moshe Rabbeinu. Alav Hashem. Now I understand why these parashiyot are read specifically this time of the year. Why we make this transition. Because during the 3 weeks, our whole kavana is on the Galut, and the Churban Beit HaMikdash, and the exiles. So it's a perfect transition that we go from the four books to the fifth book. But this is our kavanot, that we're trying to commemorate the Galuyot that are represented in the four books. But then we get to the Devarim, and once we get to the Devarim, already there's a ray of light, that there's going to be a redemption. So these are, by design, the kavanot of the 3 weeks. Beshuv Hashem et Shivat Zion. But I'd like to explain it today, although we said enough for a shi'ur. I deserve to get paid for the shi'ur just on what I said already today. I've earned my salary based on the Hiddushim that I said. But I will say now an extra Hiddush. I don't want to, Chas v'Shalom, minimize the Hiddush that we just said. This is a big Hiddush, the way we look at the Torah now. I think we've discussed this concept, but now we're going to apply it here. There's a concept that says that God's name, as we know it, is full name, Yudke Vavke, which we have here in the, in all over the world, Baruch Hashem, Shenichtav B'Kedusha U'Ktahora. This name, Yudke Vavke, is actually made up of five parts. It's not readily visible to the eye. To the eye, you see four parts, Yudke Vavke. But the Sefarim HaKedushim actually say the Yudke Vavke is made up of five parts. If you look at the Yud, the first Yud, maybe on that picture you don't see it so good, there's a little crown or a little tail that comes off the top of the Yud. On the top left of the Yud, there's a tag, like a crown that comes off. That's considered a separate entity. If you have a Sidur, you can see it better. Let's see if I have a Yud over here. The next time they take out the Sefer Torah, you'll notice it. In the Sefer Torah, it's very, very, very bold. The Yud has a little addendum that comes off the top. The Keter of the Yud. That's considered its own entity. And then you have the Yud. And then you have the He. And then you have the Vav. And then you have the He. What are these five components? Actually, without going too out of space, we live in a world that's called the world of Asiyah. That's the world of action. Just anybody asks you, where do you live? You tell them, I live in Ulama Asiyah. You have to know your address in Ulama Asiyah. Now, above us, there's already the worlds of the angels. We don't have access to these worlds in the physical way. But we direct our prayers to the upper worlds. There's a world above us called Yetzirah. There's a world above that called Biri'ah. There's a world above that called Atzilut. These are higher worlds. And there's one world that's even above Atzilut that nobody talks about because nobody has any understanding. Our understanding is very limited and very minimal because anything above this world, we cannot understand God. And we have maybe an infinitesimal interpretation up to Atzilut. But above that, that's... So there's a world above that that's called Adam Kadmon. Adam Kadmon, like Adam Arishon. It's the name of a world. You're learning something today. That's the Kots of the Yud. That's the upper world. That's where the real presence of the Shekhinah, of a God is, of the Kutshav. That's a high level. So look, the Kutshav Shul Yud, you go from high to low. Adam Kadmon, to Atzilut, to Biriyah, to Yesirah, to Asiyah, to Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke. And the Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke, when it's complete, we have a tremendous shefa. The pipe is complete. So as long as the pipe is complete, you can run water through the pipe, and it reaches its destination. So you have a pipe from Adam Kadmon to Atzilut, and Atzilut to Biriyah, and to Yetzirah, and to Asiyah. Now there's not water coming down this pipe, but there's shefa, there's beracha. The sad part is that after a certain point in Jewish history, there was a break in the pipes. Like sometimes they have a main that breaks underground and nobody has water. the Yudke separated from the Vavke. Amalek had a lot to do with that. And that creates tremendous problems for Am Yisrael, because it says that as long as we're in Galut, the name of God is incomplete, and we're missing the Vavhe. And when Mashiach comes, was that the Shem, the name of him, that's why we don't get the Shefa like we're supposed to. That's why the bountiness is not like it's supposed to be. That's why the world is so upside down like it is, because it's not in the perfect way it's supposed to be. The Gemara says there's a pasuk in Tehillim. Actually, it's the last pasuk in Tehillim. This is what everybody should know. The last pasuk in Tehillim, Kol haneshama tehallel ya. What does it mean? So everybody interprets it, Kol haneshama, the soul will praise you, God. But the Tosafot explains it in Eruvin differently. Neshama can mean a soul. But let's say I put a dot in the mem. Neshama. What does neshama mean? No. I know what it means. Neshama with a mem means desolation. Something that's desolate. Something that lays fallow. Shemama. Like it says in Parashat Behar, Kol Yemei Hoshama. So the pasuk is saying like this, Kol HaNeshama, at the time of the barrenness, at the time of the exile, at the time where Am Yisrael is in a state of destruction, Kol HaNeshama, Tehallel Ya. We can only praise God as Ya, Yudke. The Vavke fell off. The Vavke is separated. During the time of the destruction of the Galuyot, Kol HaNeshama, we could only praise God to a certain degree. Of course, these are deep concepts, but at least, listen, you have to be aware of it. Because there's a prayer that we make 10 times a day that is specifically designed to pray for the name of God to become complete. And that is the Kaddish. We say Yitkadal v'Yitkadash Shemei Rabba. Yitkadal. It should become Gadol. It should become great. What should become great? Shemei Rabba, your great name. Rabbeinu Ari learns on the word Shemei Rabba. Shemei actually is a combination of two words. Shem Ya Rabba. Your name Ya should become Rabba. So we're praying for the completion of God's full name 10 times a day. That's the Kavanat Kaddish. I don't know what the people are thinking when they say Amen. What are they thinking? But now I know what the Arizal says you're supposed to think. Yitkadal v'yitkadash Shemei Rabba. Please God that the Vavke should come back down. Shem Ya Rabba. And actually the Tosafot, I have it in front of me in Masechet Berachot on Daf Gimel, says the same thing. Oh. The Hakamim say that the five books of the Torah, those five books, are actually each sefer represents another component of the holy name Yudke Vavke. Sefer Bereshit. That's the hardest of the Sefarim. That's Kutso Shel Yud. That's the top of the Yud. Sefer Shemot, that's the Yud. No, that's the Yud. Because the Yud is two parts. Sefer Vayikra, that's the He. Sefer Vamidbar is the Vav. And Sefer Devarim is the He. That means the last two Sefarim of the Torah, Vamidbar and Devarim, is Vav. He. And Vav He, incidentally, equals 11. In this week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu says, when he's reviewing Jewish history, he said, Ahad Asar Yom Mechorev. We were only 11 days away from Eretz Yisrael. Horeb is Mount Sinai. From Sinai to Israel, it's an 11-day journey. He says, Ahad Asar Yom Mechorev. We were just 11 days away. But the rabbis tell us that there's a deeper interpretation that Moshe Rabbeinu was alluding to us. Horev can also mean the Hurban, the destruction. There's 11 days a year that we commemorate the destruction. The 9 days, Mishne Nechnas Avne Ma'atim B'Simcha, the 9 days. And then we have Tzom Gedaliah, and we have Tzom Asara B'Tevet. There's 11 days a year that are earmarked for the Hurban. Ahad Asar Yom Mechorev. That's why we read this parasha during this time of it, because there's an allusion to those 11 days. Ad Kadesh, until we get to Kadesh. Oh, Kadesh is the Kodesh. Kadesh is the Mashiach. But you have to go through these 11 days. But 11 also is the numerical value of the Vav Heh, of those two letters that are missing. Moshe Rabbeinu is hinting to the people, Ahad Asar, that's the magic number. The magic number is the Ahad Asar. That once we fix the Vav Heh, then already we reach Kadesh. And that's the Kavanah that we say during the Kaddish. And that's why always during Yemei Bein HaMitzarim, we always transition between Bamidbar and Devarim, so we can mechaven. Bamidbar is keneged the Vav, and Devarim is keneged the Heh, in order that we should make the ultimate tikkun. Now, if this is true, I will leave you with one last hiddush. There's another letter that's missing besides the Vav Heh. You're going to ask me a question. How do we fix the Vav Heh? That's a very good question. I'm glad that I asked it. The Vav Heh, how do you fix it? So you say Kaddish. I understand all these things. But there has to be some way that we are able to metaken the Vav Heh. The best way to make the tikkun is through learning Torah. Learning, like we're learning now. Why? Be'ezrat Hashem, this Wednesday night, there's going to be a great event in Am Yisrael. The Siyum HaShas. Not only because it's a great accomplishment to finish 2,700 plus pages of the Talmud on a very rigorous schedule of 7.5 years without missing a day. It's a great accomplishment. But for Am Yisrael, it's a great moment of salvation. It's a great moment of Yeshua, of redemption. Already on Wednesday, maybe you should already start making a carry-on, a luggage, just to be prepared, because they might make an announcement at the Siyum HaShas that that's it, this event was so great, such a power that maybe we didn't see since Matan Torah. Already the Mashiach is coming. But I'll tell you why, how it works. We're celebrating the study of the Talmud. What is the Talmud? What is this Talmud? Basically, the Talmud is made up of six orders. Shisha Sidre Mishnah. The six orders of the Mishnah. There's Zira'im, and there's Mo'ed, and there's Nashim, and there's Nizikim, and there's Kadashim, and there's Taharot. Rashi Tevot Zeman Nakat. That's the six orders of the Mishnah. And basically, the Gemara explains all the six sections of the Mishnah. But what is the basis? The basis doesn't start from the Gemara or the Mishnah. The basis starts from the Chumash. You see, the Chumash is the text. But the text is very raw. It's not developed. it's very, very terse. It's very short. So the Talmud and the Mishnah elaborates on the text. So basically what we're doing all day long when we study is we're taking a text from the Hamisha Chumshei Torah and we're filtering it through the Shisha Sidre Mishnah, and therefore we're coming out with the Emet, the Torah. That's the ingredients of Torah. You need Hamisha Chumshei Torah and Shisha Sidre Mishnah, and together you have what's called the Talmud. And this is the way our religion is defined. You cannot define our religion from an English commentary or from a conjecture in your own brain. It must go through that system. Very good. Hamisha Chumshei Torah is the hair. And Shisha Sidre Mishnah is the Vav. That's the Vav hair. That's how you put the Vav hair back. And could you imagine now you're going to have hundreds of thousands of people that are going to celebrate the completion. The Siyum means a completion. And at that moment in the heavens, the angels of mercy tell Borei Olam, they made Siyum, you also have to make Siyum. Put the Vav here back. Make a Siyum to your name. Don't let your name become in half. And they did it. They spent 7.5 years all day long with Vav Heh. Shisha Sidre Mishnah, Hamisha Chumshei Torah. Vav Heh, Vav Heh. So now they earned it. And maybe there's never a bigger Siyum in history like this. This might be the biggest one. So therefore, it's a great Et Ratzon. It's a great moment of mercy that Be'azat Hashem Borei Olam will give us. That's how you fix it. Now, although I'm sure most of you women did not finish the Shas this round, nor am I advising to you to join the next round, but you're still part of the Simcha. Many of our members, their wives, their husbands study the Daf HaYomi. This is a great zechut in itself, Ishto Kegufo, or they have their children, or they have family members that are part of this great Siyum. So they're connected. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh. So we're connected whether we're an active participant or an inactive participant. I will conclude with the words of the Gaon Mevilna, and then I have to go. We call a Siyum a Siyum. Siyum is spelled Samich Yud Vav Mem. If you take the letter Samich, how do you spell Samich? Samich Mem Chav. Isn't it interesting? The active letter is a Samich. The inactive letters are Mem Chav. Mem Chav equals 60. Samich equals 60. The active letter equals 60 and the inactive letter equals 60. Yud is Yud Vav Dalet. The active letter is Yud, which is 10. The Vav Dalet, which is inactive, also equals 10. Vav, Siyum, Vav, Vav. That's how you spell Vav, 6 and 6. And Mem is Mem, Mem, 40 and 40. Says the Gaon of Vilna, at a Siyum, the inactive members are equal to the active members. That when people come to the Siyum to show respect for the Torah, when they show Kavod the Torah, when they show the glory of the Torah, Tiferet the Torah, Borei Olam says, you're included. If you are sameach for the Torah, if you're enjoying in the simcha, so therefore this is a simcha not only for the hundreds of thousands of misayimim, this is a simcha for all of Am Yisrael. This is a simcha of universal proportion, and it couldn't come at a better moment. Right after Tisha B'Av, right after the Ta'anit, just to give them a few days to prepare the Se'udah, and then all of a sudden, the Vav Heh, all of a sudden it becomes a return. Yiratzon, that all these hints and all these ideas should not only be in theology, in theory, but the ideas of Zat Hashem should also come lema'aseh. B'sha'a tova muslachat b'merabi yamenu, v'tizkeh b'nechamat Zion b'merabi yamenu. Amen.